BYUSN, BYU head basketball coach Kevin Young adds yet another experienced coach to his staff. Who he is and what exactly he brings to Provo. John Rothstein of CBS Sports will join the program and share what has impressed him the most in everything that Kevin Young has accomplished during his short tenure at BYU.
Does BYU football have to have a winning record at home this season to make a bowl game? We'll discuss. Pole vaulter Rebecca Erickson joins us live from Eugene to preview NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Nationals. And today's matchup in the best quarterback bracket features Robbie Bosco and Jaren Hall.
Another loaded matchup for another loaded show. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, June 5th. I am Spencer Linton. He is Marriott Center seating chart coordinator, Jerem Jordan.
So John Rothstein tweeted the other day that the Big 12 approved, quote, Hollywood seats, which is a funny phrase to me.
I think of but, Jack Nicholson in that regard.
Yeah, the seats basically on the same side as the teams. So last year there were seats that midseason started right on the home side.
Yeah.
Typically Ryan Smith and the fam would sit there.
Sure.
This is going to happen on the visitor side as well. BYU doesn't know exactly, they're still figuring out the details on what exactly that will look like. But this is going to happen in the Big 12. So another Yormark move. I wonder what it means for the scorers table. And who goes to the second row, and are there fewer corporate seats back there? There's some adjusting that needs to happen. But I wouldn't be surprised in the future if on the baseline there are more kind of, like if they dug that out a little bit and there were seats back there.
Sure.
Right now it's kind of like cameramen and women shooting pictures and video on the court side, and then kind of people behind the basket a little bit. So we'll see. It could look a little different in the future.
What would that renovation look like? And would there be like true suites? Could you put suites in the Marriott Center? You would have to remove some seats because suites are typically like two-thirds of the way up or halfway up if you want like a private room.
Yeah, I don't think they'd blow out the upper bowl for that, which is probably what you'd need to do to some degree. I don't see it. I think BYU loves having a massive gym, and it fills it up.
100%.
Like last year was awesome. There are a lot of sellouts for great games. I anticipate there will be even better attendance coming up this year.
The Hollywood seats will be in high demand. I can promise you that.
I love the Hollywood seats.
All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
It's one of the louder stadiums, I think, in the country.
Down, Jake throws, complete, it's caught 30-20.
Coach Young has a highly competitive roster in what will be an even more competitive Big 12. This summer could be as important as any summer in BYU basketball history.
So much for a slow summer. It has been anything but. Technically, we're not even into the summer.
It's spring, yeah.
It's been a busy spring for sure. What's Trending presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Feels like we're getting something new every day from BYU men's
what
basketball.
What is it today?
Let's discuss. Kevin Young and his squad announced the hiring of Tim Fanning as an assistant coach yesterday. This a day after Will Voigt was officially announced on Kevin Young's staff. Fanning comes to BYU after spending the last three seasons with Overtime Elite. Fanning becomes the fourth assistant coach to join BYU's staff. He previously worked with Kevin Young for one season as the video coordinator for the Delaware 87ers. This is what Kevin Young had to say about Fanning, and I quote, "I'm excited to welcome Tim to BYU. He comes with very unique coaching experiences after coaching in the NBA G League, Euro League, and being a head coach at different levels. Tim has traveled the world, learning different philosophies, and gained a strong network along the way. He's a very intelligent coach with a strong background in player development. Our entire program will benefit from Tim's expertise." This is a world-traveled, world-experienced
passport's pretty
staff
good,
that Kevin Young has put together. Tim Fanning's just another guy in that mold. And he's been helping out. He's been around. Took a minute for him to get officially announced, but now it's official. He's
friend
a
of the program.
Yeah,
and
he was a
and
friend
sons.
Of the program.
Like
for
worst,
the first few weeks.
Worst kept secret there for a week.
Hey, and Eli Bryant took to social media. We'll show you that in just a minute. He's like, "Hey, my guy." So he knows BYU guys, which is good. He has some tie to BYU through Elijah Bryant.
Yeah, Maccabi Tel Aviv. Yep.
And Maccabi Tel Aviv with great success there. So what's your reaction to this latest hire in what has been a bevy of moves this week?
Yeah, this one's been out there for a couple weeks, so we're just kind of waiting for it to be official. But yeah, a guy that absolutely fits into what Will Voigt and Kevin Young bring to this staff, which is experience, internationally experience among development players, trying to get them to the NBA. This program is not, hey, let's find, let's find top LDS kids and a couple other guys. It is, we're going to scour the globe
yes.
for the best fits for BYU, whether that's an LDS kid who's local and that totally needs to be here, like a Brody Kozlowski if he wants to, right? And guys all the way from Russia. As we've talked about. So I really like Fanning's experience, especially recently the last 3 years with Overtime Elite. So there's a league for 16 to 20-year-olds that are trying to make it to the pros. And he worked with Alex Saar, who is the presumptive number one pick in this NBA draft coming up, and number four pick, Amen Thompson of the Rockets. Mm. So he's coached some very high-level guys recently, not to mention, as you mentioned, Maccabi Tel Aviv with Elijah Bryant, the Nelson Giants, which I didn't know existed until yesterday, of the New Zealand NBL, the New Zealand national team itself. And then little did we know that the Delaware 87ers would be the core of the coaching staff.
The 87ers.
The 76ers? No, what? You heard me right. That Delaware would be the heart and soul of the coaching staff. You got Kevin Young with the connection there. You got now Tim Fanning. You got Doug Stewart, who was there as well, who's the chief of staff. Pretty cool, not to mention some experience there in Spain for Tim. So obviously a diverse network, as he talked about. BYU's recruiting network has never been more global.
Sure.
Never been more
diverse. It's unbelievable.
So the experience of the staff is obviously to go find future pros all over the world. The 92 Dream Team, it's well chronicled, really spread the gospel of hoop all over the globe. And now we have a staff that really reflects that. And I love that you have a nice group of Brandon Dunson, young up-and-comer that was in the Pac-12. Chris Burgess is a member of the church, local, understands what it's like to be the top recruit in the country. He is the Utah guy, the embedded with the LDS guys. And then you have Will Voigt, Tim Fanning, who have global reach in their experience, G League experience as well. This is awesome. There is one more assistant coach position left. There's not a lot of boxes that you would frankly need to check.
Sure.
In terms of what types of guys you need. I think this is a well-rounded staff that frankly, if the Utah Jazz were like, yeah, we hired Will Voigt and Tim Fanning, it'd be like, hey, those were good hires for the NBA. This is awesome.
Jeremy, it's wild to think about the international exposure and the impact that world players have had on the greatest league on the planet, in the NBA.
The greatest league, meaning the English Premier League? That's the greatest league, Doc.
So the greatest basketball
league. Oh, basketball, yeah.
But think about it. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Luka Doncic, to begin with.
Nikola Jokic. Yeah.
Those are arguably the three most dominant players in the game right now. None are American. They're all international players.
It's a global sport.
In the 90s, I remember it was kind of like this novelty when you saw a Drazen Petrovic or a Sarunas Marcellonis or a Tony Kukoc. Like, those guys were the outliers. Yeah. Now it's very, very ingrained that it's just an international sport.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't this staff and Kevin Young take that NBA model and be like, hey, well, now that NIL's in play and we can pay players, why would we not just make this like a professional league? And instead of them being mired down Real Madrid's B or C team, come over here and be the star. I can still develop you to get to the NBA. You're already in America. You'll be seen by more NBA scouts, hypothetically.
Real Madrid B is pretty good, by the way.
That's where Luka Doncic was. I know.
Yeah. Well, he went to the A team pretty quickly.
But a guy whose name we cannot say yet is kind of in a situation where Luka Doncic was. Or it took a minute for Luka to get elevated to the A team. An injury put him up there, and then he made the most of it.
But he did it pretty early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 18 or 19 years old.
It's not a fair comp for said Russian guy. Like,
sure.
Real Madrid's been
pretty healthy. My point is, you don't have to stay in the EuroLeague to get paid or go to the G League and make less. Now you can come make a pretty good sum and develop for the NBA as a college basketball player. The game has
Previously, you would have stayed and been paid. Like, you didn't need to come and play college.
Yeah.
Like, the guys you've mentioned, these guys aren't coming over and playing the NCAA, typically. They are just playing in Europe. and you play in your domestic league. And then the EuroLeague is basically the Champions League of basketball. And that's where Maccabi Tel Aviv, you know, they were playing in the EuroLeague out of Israel. So that's the experience.
Things have changed, and the staff has been set up to accommodate recruiting the globe. Recruiting is your lifeblood. Kevin Young knows it. He knows where to find talent in the NBA. He knows where to find talent for college players to develop them into NBA players, span the globe.
And if you want to be local, just be local. That's fine. I think BYU could be certainly successful to a point that way, but certainly going above and beyond that, now your recruiting ability is way bigger and higher and wider than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Part of that is NIL, and part of that is Kevin Young's coaching resume and experience, and now his staff to, hey, I can get you to the NBA. And he still needs to prove that, but there is a lot in the NBA of what he's done.
Sure.
I'm talking, okay, I can bring you to college and get you there. I'm so excited to see it.
Yeah, it's fantastic awesome. Stuff. Kevin Young, he's the glue that holds this whole thing together.
Okay, topic two. Does BYU football have to have a winning record at home to make a bowl game?
BYU has to have a winning record at home to have any sort of significant step forward. Technically speaking, BYU could go 3-3 at home.
Who'd you see, man?
I have no idea. Probably somebody from BYU TV. They could go 3-3 at home, but then the non-conference becomes that much more urgent. And a
good
game,
thing BYU is not playing a G5 road game.
One and a half of them. SMU's technically a P5 now.
Hey, we've been a P5 for 1 year. We can't be doing that, dude.
So
one whole year.
BYU has got a road G5 game. That non-conference becomes that much more urgent if BYU is not able to pull off a home winning record. The game at Arizona State on paper looks like a winnable road game for BYU, but I mean, What else feels like a winnable road conference game for the Cougars? Maybe
Arizona State?
Baylor, UCF, Utah look really tough. SMU looks so tough at a conference. Jeremy, I think they have, at worst, BYU has to be 3-3, has to be 3-3 at home to have any prayer of getting to a bowl.
So they don't have to have a winning record.
No, but it's going to be really, really sketchy coming down the stretch if you don't have a winning record at home. Like BYU could be in a scenario where they're 4-6 going into the final two games, which are at Arizona State and then home to Houston, and you would have to win those final two to get bowl eligible.
That could absolutely happen.
If you want to give yourself a breather of sorts, you're going to have to find a way to win one of these away games you're not supposed to, and I feel like that's most likely to happen in the non-conference, maybe against SMU early. BYU's typically been pretty good in early season road games. For the last 30 years.
You're healthy.
They've done well.
Not a lot of film.
Take advantage of the opportunity to beat SMU on the road and get one of those road wins where it's like, okay, now we have a little bit of breathing room. So if we have an unfortunate setback against a team that maybe we felt like we could have beaten, it's not the end-all, be-all. 3-3 for me is the bare minimum. If BYU wants to take a significant step forward, any shot at 7 games, now we're talking like you have to have a winning record at home. If they're going to win 7, you have to go 4-2 at home, Jeremy.
I don't see how BYU is going to have a winning record at home. It's just too tough, bro. Kansas State is going to compete for the conference championship. They were 9-4, all 4 losses by 1 score last year. Are you kidding me? Oklahoma State, title contender. Arizona, title contender. These are the home games. Kansas, title contender. Houston, you need to win that game. So it's Southern Illinois and Houston that I'm like, those two you should win. What's going to be another win there just to be 3-3? I think BYU upsets one of those 4 teams at least. I'm hoping for 2 to be 4-2. But I think BYU's 3-3, and then you got to go 3-3 on the road. So as you mentioned, at SMU, short week, hot in Texas, won the AAC last year.
But it's early in the season.
And this just in, they are a Power 5 team.
If they are a Power 5.
In the ACC of all conferences.
They haven't played an ACC game by the time BYU played.
That's
them.
True.
So half
technically G5 still. Just kidding. At Wyoming, you got to win. I think if BYU loses at Wyoming, you probably don't go to a bowl game, and you can point to that game.
Wyoming's the worst team on BYU's schedule, according to the Football Power Index.
Worse than Southern Illinois, question mark?
Well.
Oh, FBS?
FBS team, yes.
Well, could argue Southern Illinois is pretty good.
Does FPI even do FCS teams?
I don't think so.
I don't think they do, but I'm saying they have the worst FPI of any team on BYU's schedule at 99.
What was BYU again in FPI? 74?
73.
Okay.
Prime number,
Baylor.
Remember?
Yeah, that's right. Baylor. Do you go to Baylor and win? You make up for 21? That'd be nice. At UCF scares me. That's a long road trip. That's a talented team. That one's tough. Utah, I would love for BYU to win that game. That'd be great. But Utah's
That's
good.
Probably the hardest game on BYU's schedule because
Period.
Of where it happens and the Period. Fact that Utah is going to be a Big 12 Utah's championship contender.
A great team. Can BYU go up there in like they did in 2018 and finish the deal? I don't know. This isn't the 2018 Utah team. And then Arizona State, you got to win that game. So I'm thinking, like, okay, Southern Illinois, Houston, Wyoming, Baylor, Arizona State. There's five wins. What's the other one? hopefully BYU does what sometimes they do. They surprise us sometimes. Last year was a negative surprise. Men's basketball was a positive surprise. We're hoping for a surprise in the positive direction of not six, but maybe seven wins. Just get to a bowl game. Expectations are low. Supersede those. Exceed those. And we all move on to next year and continue the build. If it's less than that, now things start to get weird in Provo.
The stat of the day is just the combined FPI of the home schedule versus the road schedule.
Okay, this is really unique.
This is unbelievable.
Throw this up.
We're talking about this morning. It's like, yes. Let's take a look at this. The average FPI, average FPI of every home game is 33.4.
It's way better than road.
And on the road, the average FPI of the opponents is 50. The home schedule, according to the Football Power Index, is way tougher than
fun.
What BYU faces on the road.
It's fun for the fans, and it gives you a more winnable opportunity, but we'll argue this another day. I would rather have the tough games on the road because I want to ensure the wins against the more winnable teams at home. But I know from an entertainment standpoint, it's going to be more fun to have the tough teams at home.
All right, our question of the day, does BYU football have to pick up a winning record at home this season in order to make a bowl game? At Art Director BYU on X. Hey, I haven't heard from him in a bit.
So,
formula
great.
To get to a bowl game. Must win against Southern Illinois, FCS.
Oh, you lose that one? No, bowl ain't happening.
At Wyoming.
Oh, I guess Oklahoma State turned it around last year.
At Wyoming. At Arizona State. Houston.
Yep.
Okay, so there are four right there. Pull one home top 25 upset against either Kansas State, Arizona, Kansas, or Oklahoma State.
I think that will happen.
Pull one road upset, either at Utah, at UCF, at SMU, or at Baylor.
Well cogitated. Yep.
Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram.
That's the elite voice of the day.
The more that we show you how tough BYU's schedule is, BYU plays one of the toughest, if not the toughest, Big 12 schedule of any team in the league.
It's great news. It's wonderful news.
It's really tough, just like it was last year.
Also good news. Why can't it be the easiest? Men's hoops had the easiest. How about that?
You start to understand why prognosticators are saying 4.5 or 5.
Yeah.
Because of the difficulty of the
combined
schedule.
With the, you didn't add a ton of pieces kind of element there. Join us Friday for a BYU Sports Nation Deep Blue special featuring incredible stories from football players and coaches like Cody Epps, Jay Hill, Eddie Heckard. Friday, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, back to basketball. CBS Sports College Hoops analyst John Rothstein rejoins the program and tells us why he has BYU at number 36 in his latest team rankings. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Who's by himself, and he hammers it home! Oh, wow! Six in a row for now! Spin on Saunders. Wow, block by Saunders! Down and home with the hammer!
More basketball in June. We are live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Joining us now is longtime college basketball analyst and insider, the great John Rothstein of CBS Sports is back on BYUSN. John, did you sleep in May? Did that actually happen?
I would say I took a couple of naps, but as you guys know, everything is moving so fast in college basketball. But as we were discussing off the air, once you get a little bit further away from the season, things quiet down a little bit. So you can definitely have, you know, equal time there to catch up on plenty of 80s and 90s movies.
Hey, there's always time for that. I love that. That's in our repertoire as well. This has been the most men's basketball-filled offseason in record in Provo. It's been incredible with the hiring of Kevin Young, assistant coaches, transfer portal activity, signings, international stars coming over that are projected lottery picks. Are you kidding me? What have you made of what BYU has done in the offseason after losing Mark Pope to Kentucky?
Well, you know, so many people are obviously going to look at who BYU brought in. I am always focused on two teams retain. Retaining Dallin Hall, retaining Richie Saunders, retaining Foose Traore. Those are three players who were integral parts of a team that earned a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament. And in this landscape where there is so much turnover, the main thing people need to focus on when they're evaluating teams for the upcoming year is this. Retention is what garners attention.
John Rothstein on BYU Sports Nation. You have BYU at number 36. Certainly because of some of those the players that have been pulled back by Kevin Young and they have been able to retain. So what's the ceiling for BYU, John? If they add a certain key piece here or there still in the transfer portal, like how high could they climb in your power rankings? Because 36 is pretty good right now.
36 is pretty good. That bit puts BYU in a situation where when I'm envisioning what this team could be for next season and their capabilities, I'm seeing a team that could be in an 8-9 game in the NCAA tournament. I don't think there's any doubt that that's within BYU's reach. I think BYU is in position under Kevin Young to be an NCAA tournament team next season. Now, we just spent a couple of moments on who BYU retained from last year's squad that reached March Madness under Mark Pope. But look at the additions. Kevin Akeda, proven college big man at Utah. We also have to remember that in addition to the players that I mentioned, Hall, Saunders, Traore, Trevin Nell, one of the best shooters in college basketball, also returning on the wing. He can stretch the defense. And maybe the most underrated player I think that BYU brought in is going to be Rutgers transfer Mawat Mag. Usually as I'm evaluating teams, I will only put one glue guy per program. I may have to put two right now because of Richie Saunders and Mawat Mag for BYU as we watch, obviously, the clips of both Mag and Kata right there as we're seeing the highlights. There's a lot to be excited about for BYU, and I know there's obviously going to be even more excitement when we talk about, you know, the foreign prospect, Yegor Demin, who came in from Real Madrid. But I also want to caution BYU fans right now, after watching what happened last season at both Xavier and UCLA, I would give the attention to the transitional period that's going to take for foreign prospects, because both Xavier and UCLA a year ago put a lot of stock in their international recruiting, and most of those players are not in those two respective programs right now. I know we're also in a time right now, guys, on social media, where because maybe 80 to 85% of most recruiting is being done through the transfer portal, there seems to be consensus that every player who commits to any program is automatically going to be a great get and a productive player. Remember, we are just seeing the volume now in April and May that we used to see in September, October, and November when recruiting was done mostly around high school players.
It's wild. And BYU's bringing in two ESPN Top 100 kids, which they're very excited about. One local from Utah, one from Georgia, and Brody Kozlowski and Elijah Crawford, the Russian superstars mentioned. So, yeah, it's going to take some time. And for Kevin Young as a first-year college coach as well, obviously tremendous experience, nearly a head coach in the NBA multiple times.
Yeah.
What kind of leeway should BYU fans give him in year one?
Well, look, there's going to be an adjustment to college basketball, and there's going to be an adjustment to the Big 12. Now, Kevin Young coached in the NBA, was obviously highly successful as an assistant coach, but he's coming to a program right now where there's an expectation to be in the NCAA tournament. He's coming into a program right now where the head coach who preceded him is now the head coach at the University of Kentucky. And look, a year ago, we talked about what it was going to be like for BYU to transition from the West Coast Conference to the Big 12. And we knew that really the stature of BYU basketball would be augmented to a completely different level. And to Mark Pope's credit, he was able in his first year to take a team that didn't make the NCAA tournament in the West Coast Conference to a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament in the Big 12. And guys, I think when you look at the Big 12 next season,
oh man,
I think there is a real chance where we could have multiple number one seeds in the NCAA tournament out of the Big 12. Kansas, Houston, and Baylor, to me, are all top five teams. Iowa State is right behind those teams with a returning nucleus of Gilbert, of Taman Lipsey, of Momchilovich. There's a really strong core at Iowa State for T.J. Otzelberger to have another really, really good team. They also have Curtis Jones back, who was a tremendously underrated player last year. That's four teams right there. Who's five? Arizona, who has one of the best backcourts in college basketball with Bradley, Caleb Love, and I think a guy who's going to be one of the best defenders in college basketball in K.J. Lewis. Then that's five right there. That's five of the 16 teams. I firmly believe this is going to be the best Cincinnati team that program has had since Mick Cronin's last season before he left for UCLA in 18-19. I love, again, what Wes Miller retained from last season's team. Jizzle James is back. Day-Day Thomas is back. Simas Lukosius. Daniel Skillings, I think, will be an all-Big 12 player. And you also add Dylan Mitchell from Texas out of the transfer portal. After those six, Texas Tech looks tough with Grant McCaslin. Elijah Hawkins is a transfer from Minnesota who I think will have a monumental impact, as will JT Toppin from New Mexico. And then after that, I have BYU in the eighth spot.
Okay.
That right there is eight out of the 16 teams in the Big 12. Guys, this is only June, but I recommend going to see your cardiologist and getting some nitroglycerin pills.
It's even tougher than last year. And like,
It is tougher than last year, and I firmly believe this. The Big 12 will start the season with at least four teams in the top 10.
Wow.
And I do believe now the Big 12, without question, will have six teams in the top 25 in the preseason. I think it could push for seven because of Texas Tech. Another thing, too, not a lot of people are talking about with Texas Tech, Devin Cambridge, who didn't play last season because of a knee injury, is also expected to come back. He's somebody, again, who was an integral part of an Arizona State team that made the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago. So I'm looking right now at this Big 12 as being the teams at the top will be the strongest top of any conference in college basketball. Again, I'm expecting the Big 12 to have multiple number one seeds in the 2025 NCAA tournament.
Oh, with the conference expanding to 16 and just the quality of basketball, it feels like they could legitimately put 10 teams in the NCAA tournament, John. Because behind BYU, who do you have behind BYU out of sheer curiosity? Because it's not like Kansas State and TCU are bad programs.
No, I would say Kansas State, TCU are in the 9-10 spot. And then you have to, again, do the real deep dive on programs like Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, who are joining the league. UCF has been very active in portal combat. And obviously, we have new regimes starting at West Virginia and Oklahoma State. But I think, you know, the top eight that we went through with Texas Tech and BYU being 7-8 are all going to be firmly in position to make the NCAA tournament. And I really believe, guys, that we have, you know, six teams at the top that are all going to find their way in the top 20 and maybe the top 15. I'm that bullish on Cincinnati. This is a team, again, who had 10 of its 15 losses last season by 5 points or fewer. Players are back from that team. Wes Miller has recruited really, really well. I think Cincinnati's due to make the NCAA tournament and have a chance to advance. I absolutely love that perimeter at Arizona with Lewis, Bradley, and Love. Love, obviously, the reigning Pac-12 player of the year. And then I look again at the four horsemen up top, Kansas, Houston, Baylor, Iowa State. Those teams, in my opinion, could all be among the top eight seeds in the 2025 NCAA tournament. But remember, this is only June.
I'm having heart palpitations, John.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Cardiac arrest is happening. No, it's exciting, and it's going to be fun. You know, BYU showed well in year one. Can they kind of keep that up with the new staff? It'll be fun to watch. Speaking of Kevin Young, you know, you had some clever phrases, right, with Mark Pope. Do you have one for Kevin already ready in the chamber?
I can't force taglines. Every program wants to have a tagline. Those are things that just have to come organically or else they wouldn't resonate as much. Mark Pope, keeping the faith We will translate that, obviously, to his new stop in Lexington. I know that went over big in Provo, but no, you can't force those things.
Hey, I like Portal Combat. I want to know where I can buy that T-shirt. I think that's fantastic because it's a real thing, John.
Just tweet at me. I'll get you the link. Proceeds go to charity. We want to be mensches here in this operation.
Let's go. John, we appreciate the time. As you mentioned, it's only June, but we are cooking and we are talking hoops. Thanks for the time, man. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. We sleep in May.
Yes, we do. He said he got a few naps.
He got it in. He got it in, which is great.
Just in time to pick things back up in June. My goodness.
Awesome. Okay, if you missed any interview shows, games, you can find them on BYUSN.com. Download the free BYU TV app to get all the BYU TV sports content you want on demand.
Up next, some quarterback talk. Specifically, Zach Wilson, who's taking first-team reps for the Denver Broncos. What does it mean? And what does his new head coach say about him right now? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out your Wednesday headlines.
Men's basketball announced the hiring of Tim Fanning as the fourth assistant coach. He was most recently with the 16 to 20-year-old league out of Atlanta called Overtime Elite, working with the likely top pick in the NBA draft this year, Alex Saar, and the number four pick last year, Amen Thompson. Previously coached in Israel with Maccabi Tel Aviv, coaching Elijah Bryan a couple of years, as well as in New Zealand and with the Delaware 87ers in the G League with Kevin Young.
It's not Amen, it's Amen Thompson. BYU men's and women's track and field in Eugene, Oregon today at NCAA Nationals. Today, the men's team will have 9 different athletes compete. The women begin their events tomorrow.
Flint some natties. Let's go. Daniel Schneeman went 1-for-2 yesterday in the Guardians' 8-5 win over the Kansas City Royals, his second game in the majors. Defensively, he was part of 2 double plays at shortstop.
Yeah.
Schneeman and the 2 squads run it back today at 6:40 Eastern. Also, Justin Sterner pitched 2 innings yesterday for the Rays in a 9-5 win over the Marlins. He gave up 1 earned run on 3 hits and struck out 2.
Not bad if you're Schneeman and you have a hit in both of your first 2 Major League Baseball games.
Hey, keep it going.
Jackson Clough, good friends with Daniel Schneeman and Justin Sterner, named the Player of the Week for the AAA Rochester Red Wings in his last 5 games. Speaking of effective hitting, Clough 7-for-16, 6 RBIs, 2 stolen bases, and had a 424-foot home run blast that went for 3 runs yesterday, which is his longest of the year.
This just in from Matt Norlander a couple of minutes ago. New BYU coach Kevin Young has hired John Linehan as an assistant, per a source. Linehan most recently was an assistant at St. Joe's in Georgia. Of course, he's most well known for being a Providence great and one of the NCAA's all-time leader in steals. So John Linehan expected to be the 5th and final assistant coach hire. Wait for the official announcement, but sources there from Matt Norlander of CBS Sports.
Had a great career playing internationally again to go along with what we've been talking about.
And there's going to be massive confusion. He's not Johnny Linehan.
He's not Johnny Linehan.
It's John Linehan.
Yes.
Sorry, Johnny Linehan.
Well, through Matt Norlander, again, not official through BYU, but with that report out, welcome to BYU. It appears that Kevin Young has completed
the 5th and final.
His staff.
And his name's been out there as this last hire, so here we go.
It's fun when they go official, and we can start talking more about it.
Well, coaches we can talk about.
Yeah, for sure. But just not players.
Players we cannot. They're
just
different.
Not players. Those are today's headlines. Now, some opinions in the whip. Cougar Whip represented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
At @_MLFootball posted this yesterday about Broncos quarterback Zach Wilson. Poor Zach Wilson's been the number one quarterback working with the starters at Broncos OTAs today, according to local reporters. His former number 2 overall pick will fight for the job. Also, Sean Payton, the head coach, had this to say after OTAs yesterday about Zach.
We just felt like, man, we'd love to work with this guy. It wasn't too long ago. We remember grading him, and we felt the investment was worth it relative to his skill set and his talent. And so it took a while. You know, we spent the better part of a month and a half working on that trade.
What do you make of this?
6 weeks of investment into getting Zach Wilson. This tells me Sean Payton really wanted him.
Yeah.
And I recently spoke with an NFL quarterbacks coach who says Zach Wilson has the skill set, if given the right system, to be very successful. So is Sean Payton...
So if he's not on the Jets, he could be good? Is that the translation
this
there?
This is that, hey, you're picking up what I'm putting down. Yeah. Okay? Is Sean Payton and are the Denver Broncos the right fit for Zach Wilson? It certainly feels like
hopefully
the investment is there from the team and the staff to help him. They recognize the skill set. It's tough when you get in a mental funk like the New York Jets put Zach Wilson in, no question. So I'm excited about it. I like that Sean Payton's open about it, and I know Taysom Hill loves Sean Payton. He's excited that Zach gets to work with Sean. Let's just see what happens. I think he's going to be the starter on day one, though.
I think so, too. Ideally, you don't start Bo Nix out of the gates, even though you at 12 picked up Bo. And, you know, he's an extremely efficient passer, but it's going to be a different kind of system. He can't check down as much in the NFL, per se. Better tackling, better defensive schemes. So hopefully Zach, the ideal situation for Zach and the Broncos, to me, is that Zach is good this year, and then Bo kind of sits behind him and gets his chance in the future, and then Zach earns an opportunity perhaps elsewhere. Or if he's good enough with the Broncos, obviously he would stay and kind of keep that going. But can he show enough to merit continuing to get a starter opportunity? No question Zach could be a backup for a long time in the NFL. That's not what he wants. He wants to be playing ball.
Be great for 2 years in Denver and then see what the future holds.
Is that what his contract is? Is it two? I can't remember what it is.
I'm not sure on the specifics of the years. All I know is that there's, if you spend 6 weeks trying to put a trade together, there's real investment there.
Yeah. By the way, John Rothstein 6 minutes ago tweeted, BYU's Kevin Young has hired St. Joe's John Linehan as assistant coach. I think he literally got off the interview with us and sent that tweet up.
Yeah. He told us
like we just missed him giving us that information.
Right before we started the interview, he's like, hey, there's more news coming. He was
like
not
in
kidding,
5 minutes?
Sure. He was not kidding.
Yeah.
Up next, BYU women's pole vaulter Rebecca Erickson is one of the handful of BYU athletes in Eugene, Oregon at Nationals. And she's doing so after breaking a BYU record this year. This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B in Provo, Utah. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Time to welcome in our second guest of the program today. She is ready to compete at Nationals in Eugene, Oregon at historic Hayward Field. Rebecca Erickson, outstanding BYU women's pole vaulter, is with us on the show. Rebecca, welcome to BYUSN. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for having me here.
Tracktown USA and Hayward Field look amazing. How is it behind you?
It's beautiful. This is like the premier place to compete, so I'm very, very excited. I've competed here one time in high school, but it's good to be here.
Yeah, a little different now at Nationals. So how would you explain the nerves and the emotions that you're feeling right now ahead of competing?
Yeah, so definitely nervous, but I'm trying to treat it just like any other meet. That's kind of been my goal this last part of the season, is just do what I do in practice. If I can do that, then I know I can compete well. So trying to not make it as big of a deal as it maybe is. I don't know. Just trying to keep it chill and calm.
It's super chill. You just go and do your thing and just, you know, it's just the biggest meet of your life. But it's going to be great. We're excited to watch it. And you rose to the occasion in the Big 12 Championship, setting the school record in the pole vault. So what is it like to kind of see that, hey, I set the school record. I can be at this level. Let's go get All-American status in Nationals. Why not?
Yeah, so actually the first part of the season was pretty terrible for me. I got into like a mental funk with pole vault, couldn't really figure out how to plant the pole. I was like really had a lot of self-doubt and it was really hard for me. And I considered redshirting. I was like, I don't know if this is worth it. Like, I think I just need to kind of take a break and get back into the game mentally. But ultimately I decided that I didn't want to give up on myself and on my dream of doing well this season. And so I worked through it. I started meeting with a sports psychologist and he gave me some pretty good tools to, remind myself that I'm doing this for fun. I do this because I love it. It's something that's really enjoyable for me. And bringing the fun back into it really helps secure my confidence. It helps me realize, like, I love this. This is who I am. This is what I love to do. And so I think that really helped restore my confidence, restore the consistency. And going into that Big 12 meet, I was pretty nervous because I hadn't had the greatest outdoor season, but I brought it together and I feel like it went really well. So good to have the consistency back. And I think a lot of that is due to focusing on the mental side. Football's a very mental sport. So yeah.
Rebecca Erickson, outstanding. BYU women's pole vaulter is on BYU Sports Nation. What a turnaround you had when you figured some things out and got into a good mental place, because you're talking about the Big 12 championships where you break the school record. You also finished tied for first at the West prelims. Rebecca, what was said to you? What are some of these practices and things that were implemented into your mind that allowed you to do this?
Some of the things that I've tried to focus on is warm-ups are just to get warm. It doesn't really matter what happens in warm-ups. It's what happens in the meet. Focus on having fun and then control the controllable. I can't really control the weather. I can't control my competitors, but I can control what I can do. I can control my mindset. And so if I can just keep myself having fun, then that's going to make good things happen. So, yeah.
Your husband, Zach, is a distance runner. Is he your number one fan here? Or will it be somebody else yelling loudly? We've seen that before with Isaac Wood previously in years gone by with track and field.
Yeah, my mom is a pretty big fan. She's been my day one fan, so she might have to beat out my husband Zach. But yeah, I've got some good fans coming. Both sets of my parents, and my husband, Zach, and his parents as well. So should be a good cheering section.
Your sister-in-law, Lauren Love, competed for BYU Gymnastics. Who's the best athlete in the family?
Oh, boy. She can definitely one-up me in gymnastics.
She can't pole vault, though.
She can't pole vault. I can do gymnastics a little bit. She can't pole vault. So, But I come from a very unathletic family. My brother had a calculator collection in high school. So I think of the natural-born siblings, I may have the top mark.
Okay.
So.
Did your brother have a TI-86 or what?
He had them all.
Nice.
I don't know. TI-9, TI-92, I don't know.
Yeah. Shout out Texas Instruments.
TI-86 is dating us, Jerry.
Yeah, that's what I had in middle school, so there you go.
Old calculator. Rebecca, I want to talk about breaking the school record. Clearly, that meant a lot to you. We just saw some images of when you cleared that pole and just the sheer joy you felt in that moment. Having accomplished that, what's next on your to-do list on the goal sheet?
Well, I still don't have the indoor school record, so I'm coming for that one. And then first team All-American is definitely up there. But I think something that I learned from high school, I set this goal my freshman year of high school that I wanted to jump 13 feet by the time I graduated. And it was kind of a crazy goal. My school's record was 11.6, and so it was kind of out there, and it was like a random number, but it ended up being just about what I needed to vault here at BYU. And so when I cleared it my senior year, I started crying and I was so emotional and I like kind of lost it. And I wasn't able to keep jumping after that. I like kind of was out of the groove of it. And so I think it's really important for me to manage my expectations, kind of keep a lid on the excitement so I can still feel excited, but I need to keep my mind in it and know I can keep jumping the next bars. I can clear, if I jump a PR, I can clear the next one too. So. Yeah.
How'd you get into pole vaulting?
I did competitive gymnastics when I was growing up.
Oh, okay. Take that, Lauren.
Yeah. So I was a gymnast and I ended up hurting my wrist pretty badly. And I switched to ballet because I needed something to keep me going. But I hated ballet. I would like count down the time that was left. And like, I was constantly watching the clock. It just was not fun for me. Very low adrenaline, just not, ballet's great, just it wasn't for me. And so when I got into high school, we had a gymnastics team at my high school and a track coach came to my gymnastics meet and he was like, oh, I think that you would be a good pole vaulter. You should come try it. My mom was like, no, you have too much going on. I think maybe you should just focus on the things you have right now. And I was like, no, like I really want to try pole vault. And so my first meet, she let me go into my first meet. And if I did well at my first meet, I could quit ballet. And I did well at my first meet, and I quit ballet that same week, and here I am.
Nice.
We're so glad you didn't listen to your mom.
It's the rare instance where that's okay.
Yeah, it's an outlier. Also, I'm going to need your brother to grab his TI-92 and graph out the proper launch angle for you so that you can be a first-team All-American. Let's get him on that, okay?
Hey, I'll let him know. He's currently a rocket scientist at NASA, so he's actually the right one to ask.
It worked out for him.
That's awesome.
It worked out for him.
Very cool.
Holy cow.
It's not rocket science. Well, for him it is.
Rebecca, let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma. You take it, you compete well, and we can't wait to watch how things work out in Eugene. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Rebecca Erickson. Wow, multi-level
athlete. That's awesome.
Former gymnast, former
great
ballet
story.
Dancer.
Overcome a lot. Brother, massive, awesome nerd. I love that.
Rocket scientist for NASA?
That was awesome.
Holy cow.
That was incredible.
He needs a bigger calculator than the TI-90 too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he has a bigger calculator.
Up next, the best quarterback bracket continues. I'm going to crunch our own numbers here. Last matchup features the last signal caller to beat Utah, or today's matchup rather. The last quarterback to beat Utah and the last national champion.
Okay.
Which way are you going? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Now he'll run it himself right up the middle.
There goes Hall down the sideline.
Across the middle, zipped it in there, touchdown.
For the end zone. Touchdown. Oh boy, Brigham Young University.
You got to do what you got to do, you know?
And we got to do what we got to do, which is the best BYU quarterback bracket.
Yeah.
Cougars, through the ages, have produced some of the greatest college football quarterbacks of all time. And we're trying to rank them, which is like the impossible task.
Eras.
We're going to give you some matchups and then let you vote on who the greatest BYU quarterback is of all time. We're now three matchups in. We'll get that in a moment, but not before we recap what happened in matchup number two.
Let's talk about it. So 8 seed Zach Wilson. 9 seed John Beck. Moving on to the second round with 63% of the vote is John Beck. Finds this guy again. I'm a little surprised by this. I thought Zach would get the win or the more of the vote. So there you go, man.
I called yesterday. I thought John would be the guy.
Beck to Harlan.
When you have over 11,000 passing yards and you have Beck to Harlan in your repertoire, you move on.
Today's matchup.
Wow, this is a doozy. 4 seed versus the 13 seed, Robbie Bosco.
Ever heard of him?
All he did was win a national championship for BYU.
He played from 81 to 85 at BYU. Passed for 8,400 yards, 66 tutties, 64%. Passer 24-3 as a starter, by the way, including national title, third team All-American, third in the Heisman voting, not only in 84 but 85. Third round pick, just threes. Just a lot of threes with Robbie. 86 draft to the Packers. Robbie Bosco, who still works in the athletic department, has for a long time.
Yeah, doing a great job. Yeah. He takes on the 13 seed, Jaren Hall, also an NFL draft pick and NFL quarterback. Of course, Hall played at BYU from 2018 to 2022. 6,174 passing yards, 52 touchdowns, only 11 interceptions, Jaren. That's almost a 5-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Whoa, his rating was not surprisingly awesome. Rushed for 9 touchdowns as well. Number one in BYU history in interception rate at 1.5%. He did not throw interceptions like a lot of these guys.
Historic, and he's the first black starting quarterback at BYU as well, which is great.
One of three quarterbacks in BYU history with 6,000 passing yards and 800 rushing yards, joining only Taysom Hill and Steve Young.
And I think Jaren, I'd have to look this up, I think he had the best win percentage against Power 5s in BYU history. Because of 21.
When you go 5-0 against the Pac-12.
I think Taysom Hill had the most because he was like the independent
Taysom Hill was 8-8 against Power 5 teams.
Yeah.
They played 16 in the independent
era.
But
I think, I'd have to look it up. I think Jaren's win percentage is highest.
Max Hall had a pretty good win percentage against Power 5s as well.
Right. Lower volume.
6-3, I want to say, is what Max was. I got to go back and look at these numbers. I have them on my computer. But
It might be Max. It's a Hall. How about that?
Who you
it's
go
Max
with?
Or Jaren.
Like,
I think Robbie's going to win this.
Jaren Hall's a 13 seed.
I think Jaren's going to compete well in this, but I think Robbie's going to win this.
How good has BYU been in the quarterback conversation if Jaren Hall is your number 13 seed quarterback?
Jaren Hall's your 13th best?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. He'd be like the 6th best at most schools.
Voting starts.
Like Power 5 with some history? Incredible.
Voting starts in about 5 minutes on X and on Instagram. We'll tabulate the results, get them to you tomorrow on our TI-86. And our question of the day, does BYU football have to have a winning record at home to get to a bowl game? Wes Malquist on X says, if you can beat Wyoming on the road, the sky's the limit.
Setting the standards real high there. Yeah, good job.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Jeremy, you called it out. You read it again because you thought it was so good.
At Art Director BYUNX, formula to get to a bowl game, must win FCS, Southern Illinois, doesn't even say that school. At Wyoming, at Arizona State, Houston. Pull one top 25 upset, Kansas State, Arizona, Kansas, Oklahoma State. Pull one road upset at Utah, at UCF, at SMU, at Baylor. Mm. This is the way.
The home upset, I believe, is going to happen.
Yeah,
and BYU one of those four. Road upset.
Well, and can they get two home upsets? And at some point, BYU, maybe, are they good enough for it not to be an upset?
Today's Rise and Shadow presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Jackson Clef, player of the week for the AAA Rochester team for the Nationals. So congrats.
Are the Bearcats going to have a third player called up the bigs?
It might be
Jackson Clef. Our thanks to today's guest, CBS Sports' John Rothstein and pole vaulter Rebecca Erickson.
Sorry to Dennis, no time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. And a final shout out to Drew Miller. Go Cougs!
See what you did there.